Hello, and welcome to the IMG Podcast, where we are dedicated to empowering IMGs through deep diving conversations, inspirational stories, analysis of match trends, and beyond. Our mission is to help you learn what it takes to succeed and to thrive as an international medical graduate.
Hello, hello. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, good night, wherever you are in the world. This is your host, Tiffany, and welcome to today's episode. What we're going to talk about today, guess, interviews. You're absolutely right. So, but today we're going to be talking about not getting interviews or not getting those interviews that you want or the number that you want. So as we get further into the post-application season, I overstand, and you heard me right, overstand, not understand. I overstand that some of you IMGs out there are feeling the pressure, especially my anxious audience members who have not received as many interviews as you would have hoped to at this point. However, this is not the time to give in to panic. Some even say relax, but I will not go that far. Don't relax. Now is the time for you to be focused and evaluate ways in which you can improve your chances at a match. As mentioned in my previous episode, it only takes one successful interview to make all the difference in your residency journey. So let's have an honest conversation, shall we? Remember, my goal is to help you succeed, and that means facing reality head on. So let's get into it. Okay. I'm sure you've heard that the interview season, especially for IMGs, goes into what we call waves. The first wave typically takes place between October and the end of November. So we're kind of, you know, we kind of just passed that. This is where we're talking about those applicants with higher credentials. Maybe they have more research and or clinical experience in the U.S. Now, we know that this is a very competitive time. So if you don't get an interview request, if you haven't gotten it during that time, do not stress yourself because we're past that now. So no need to stress. And don't stress yourself because we're right now into what we call the second wave. That is happening right now, meaning December into January. So in this second wave, if you haven't heard anything, it's not the end of the world. We're still into it. We're in the thick of the interview season right now. So this is when most of you out there, my IMGs, I love you so much, are going to experience the highest volume of interview requests. Now, remember, we're having an honest conversation. Tiffany is honesty, okay? This is typically when programs pretty much have already established their highest ranked applicants during that first wave. And remember, this is a match. So just as much as you want to match with a program wants to optimize their matches as well. So at this point, they're willing to fill spots in the program for those applicants with lower credentials. I did not say bad. I did not say subpar. I said lower credentials than those in that first wave of applicants who may have had more experience again in that clinical arena. Now, after you listen to this podcast and you celebrate the holidays or you enjoy your winter break, that's if you all get one, I know you're super busy with your rotations and clinic work, and you're thinking, Tiffany, I still have not received an interview. Hello, there is another wave, the third wave, okay? So there is another wave, and that's going to be from about January till, you know, middle end of February. This is when you can expect a lot of programs that will have spots open because applicants have canceled or declined to pursue further for whatever reason. Maybe they logistically, they just don't have time to do it, or they already have the interviews that they wanted to achieve. Anyway, in this case, think of it as when one door closes, another one opens. So when that door closes for that other applicant, that program door opens just for you. So let's be real with each other. Rejection is the name of the game here, okay? If we were perfect and just knew that we would match with any program and every program we applied to, I'm pretty sure we wouldn't apply to hundreds of them, okay, and stress ourselves out. So most of you can expect a high volume of rejections, and that is okay. If I told you the number of rejections that I have received, listen, okay, in my life, that this episode would last until match day. But I digress. So life is not fair, but you put your blood, sweat, and tears into medical school and applying for residency. So give it your all, even if others may not understand your mission. What that means is right now, at this very moment, say you haven't received an interview, not one, or you only received one or two. And if you did receive an interview and you haven't listened to my last podcast about interview prep, what are you waiting for? So where does this leave you? Well, I want that many of you, I want you to know. Well, maybe not many of you, because my audience is super duper smart. And you know what the residency application process looks like, the back of your hands. Okay. But some of you get the acronym LOI confused. So when we have that letter of intent and letter of interest, which one do you think I'm talking about when we're talking about and discussing increasing our chances of getting an interview? Which one do you think we're talking about? Obviously, it's letter of interest, right? So let's talk about the letter of interest, because that's what you want to be doing right now if you are concerned about the number of interviews you have or have not received. And I've read, because, you know, I do read out there. I'm like an internet sleuth. So you may know me as your host, Tiffany, but my friends, you never know. I may go by other names on the internet. But seriously, I am out there reading what all of you are saying on the interwebs. So some people, including yourselves, think that it's a waste of time, which I do not understand in the least why anyone would think reaching out to a program to express your interest is a waste of time. Why would it be a waste of time to let someone know that you're interested in their program if you haven't heard back yet? So unless a program has specific instructions to not contact them if you have not been scheduled or selected for an interview, I would totally reach out now. And with that being said, okay, you don't want to send them your life story. You can totally send it to me and I'll give you how to contact me later. But you don't want to send program directors your life story. You want to send a concise, clear, short email. And you don't want to send it to every program you apply to, right? You want to limit it to a good 5 to maybe 20. And you want to cap that email, again, to be very short, definitely less than 500 words. I would say 250 to like 500 words about your interest. And you don't want to be generic. You don't want to send the same interest letter out to all the programs, right? You just, come on, be purposeful. Be purposeful with your words. And you don't want to, if you listen to my last episode, sound like a robot. And you can sound like a robot even in written form, right? So that goes with interviews and written communication. So what have you been doing since you submitted your ERAS application? Have you been continuing clinical work? Have you been doing research? What clinical knowledge have you gained since your ERAS application that ties into your interest with this program? Like, without being vague and with reiterating how you admire their program, missions, goals, blah, 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 because of course we already know that because you applied there already, right? Am I correct? Okay. So you do know the worst thing that can happen when you submit something like a letter of interest is, one, you don't get a response back. That's literally the worst that can happen, right? And you may or may not know, but in show business, there is this saying that no news is good news. Or sometimes they will actually get back to you. Either way, they're going to remember your name in some capacity because you reached out to them. So I want to tell you all a personal story, and I want to share it because I just don't want to give advice if I can't share my own personal experiences with you, because I really do want to go on this journey with you and I want to see you succeed. I can't wait to see what's on the other side of the residency application process for you. Please always keep in touch with me. But again, just because I'm not applying for residency, totally leaving that hello to you. Okay, I'm not doing that. That's for you all to see if I meet the criteria for a position, right? So I was confident, you know, my resume would never make it for this particular job I was applying for. So I knew that in my career, as I've been progressing in my career, that I want to do higher education. I want to teach, you know, research work. That is my life's work, what I want to do. So, but I knew that I didn't have the experience as everyone else, and my credentials didn't really match all the applicants, right? And so I found this position on a job board, you know, online. And I was, when I say confident, I was confident that my resume would never make it to the program director's desk, right? I'm pretty sure that, you know, it would never get there. And so instead of waiting for human resources or the program director to potentially never contact me, just sit there in limbo and my resume just sit in that, you know, nice, pretty algorithm that these job boards make, I actually went to the program's website. I found the program director's email and I emailed them. I reached out. I explained my interest in the position and I explained my interest in the program. And I proceeded to lay out in a very short, concise email my experience and what made me unique from any applicant that was going to come across their desk, which is based on credentials alone. So how am I going to stand out? Because, you know, I had a great cover letter. I had an impressive resume. I had an active LinkedIn, a great profile, all of those things. But none of that matters if I don't do my best to stand out. Of course, without being overbearing. Make sure you're not overbearing. Okay. You don't want to be stalking. So you don't want to contact them like every other day or, you know, even every week. I would not do that. But so even doing that, reaching out, you know, I didn't hear back for a week or two. And that, I think that second week, I got an email back, and not from the program coordinator. I got an email back from the program director themselves. Okay. And then all of that to say, I got an interview. I got an interview just based off of me taking that one step forward to reach out and get my name out there, because I was competing with tens of thousands of applicants across the country. And so I can tell you today that I am an adjunct assistant professor at a university teaching graduate programs. That is what I'm doing. And that would not, I don't believe that would have happened if I did not reach out to that program director directly. So there you have it. You know, and that comes after, when I say dozens, I'm going to go with maybe hundreds. I think I've gotten hundreds of adjunct assistant professor position letters, rejection letters. I'm pretty sure I've gotten dozens of those, if not hundreds of those. And what I can say about that is all of those rejections, I never reached out to the program directly. I didn't. There you have it. That is a true story that happened to me. And so, you know, it goes without saying that, you know, being intelligent is just a fraction of what it takes to match, whether it's in a job or whether it's with residency. So my advice to you is to be proud of your experience and accomplishments, but also assume. And I know what they say about assuming, but follow me. Just follow me here. Assume that everything that you've ever done in your life, all of your accomplishments, the school you went to, you were number one in your class. Just assume that the next applicant has the same credentials, if not better. So what's going to make you stand out? That's how I approach every job. And that is my advice to you, how to approach residency. Just assume that everyone that you're applying for has the same credentials that you have. So now what's going to make you stand out? Right? Of course, you went to a great school. Of course, you got all of these accolades. Everyone did. That's why it's so competitive. That's why this industry, this community of medical professionals is so competitive. But I have all the faith in you. I know you're going to do great. So if you haven't gotten that interview yet, or if you are, you know, anxious or panicking, don't do that. Take all of that panic, all of that anxiety, you know, and focus. Don't relax, focus. Okay. Now that is enough about me. Tell me about you. What has happened to you during your residency experience in terms of interviews, right? Have you gotten interviews? If you haven't, or if you haven't in the past, tell me a compelling story, an inspiring story about you taking action in the pursuit of residency that, you know, maybe you didn't get all those interviews you want, or maybe you didn't get the program that you wanted. I want to hear those success inspiring stories so I can share them, because I do want to share all of your stories. So send it to me. Okay. And if you have any questions about this topic, let me know. And more importantly, what did you think about today's episode? You know, sharing is caring. So let me know. All right. And you can do this by reaching out to Match a Resident on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, and of course on YouTube with the handle at Match a Resident. That's MATCHARESIDENT. Match a Resident on all of the socials. Please come talk to us, slide in our DMs. We want to hear from you. So as always, until next time, try to get some sleep between those rounds.
All right, dear friends, that concludes this episode of the IMG Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and will tune in for upcoming releases. You can learn more by visiting Match a Resident on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok. Thank you. And until next time, take care.